Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are it. And Brooke, you are it.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Fans always want their teams to show a sense of urgency, right? And when they're not playing well, fans understandably get mad and they want to know that their manager or their coach is getting equally mad, right?
How accountability,
are you, how are you showing the same level of passion that I am? And so for years, we've heard, you know, everybody wants their modern manager to behave like Lou Piniella. Well, most don't. In fact, none do. None of the 30 managers in baseball behave that way. It's just not the way the game is played anymore. No one's tipping over, you know, Gatorade tables or giving you the lollygag speech from Bull Durham or any of that. It's just not the way the game is played anymore. So how do you know that your manager feels that same sense of urgency? And I would tell you, Brock, I would submit that Scott Servais did two things yesterday that very clearly demonstrated he was taking that game even more seriously than normal. Mm-hmm. That there was a sense of urgency that yesterday's game mattered more. The first, Cal Raleigh hit that home run in the 10th inning, right? Ends up being the difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is that Cal Raleigh was in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Cal's not supposed to play yesterday. He's supposed to get day game after a night game off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the plan. It's not going to...
Did it help that it was kind of an awkward time, that it was
3 o'clock.
A little later in the day? Do you think that played any role in it?
Still
or was it because
day game
you were
after
Fortnite?
Night game.
Okay.
I think that... I mean, and you have the day off the next day, although that's going to be happening often, right, mm-hmm. for those day games after mm-hmm. night games, and the goal mm-hmm. is to get him 2 days in a row
yep.
off his feet. I don't know for sure. I mean, this is me speculating, but it sure felt like, hey, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
We need some offense. Yeah. This guy's on fire whenever he's in Toronto. It's like his yeah. favorite place to hit.
And it's his best friend pitching.
It's his best friend
I think
pitching.
That has to be part of this.
And, oh, by the way, the guy who's been out there when he's not in has been a complete disaster in every way.
Yeah.
Can't hit, can't field, can't throw through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need this one. And, yeah, Cal crushes in Toronto. And it sounds like he's got a little something personal with the manager over there. I had kind of forgotten that John Schneider, the manager,
too.
His name is also John Schneider, the manager
of Toronto.
Which is
also horribly confusing.
It is a little confusing. He had said last year that that Cal's actually pretty easy to pitch to as long as you execute.
That's right.
It's like, oh, okay. Well, that's they asked right. Cal about it after the home run yesterday.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys have beef with him in the league. So, his comments are surprising. And, I don't have much to say. If you don't have anything nice, don't say it all, I guess, if you don't want it to come back on you. So, he, like I said, he's had a lot of beef with people in the league, and he kind of did it to himself. So.
Woo-hoo. All right, yeah. Cal. Yeah, he continues.
Don't they have another Schneider in left field, too, with the stash?
They do Davis Schneider.
Golly.
Yeah.
Do you want a reminder of John
Schneider?
He's
an awkward-looking dude, too.
Because he also said he's only batting 200.
Yeah, what did he say?
John, what about Cal Raleigh makes him so tough to pitch to?
He's not very tough to pitch to when you execute your pitches. You know, he's hitting 200, but it's, I know he's done damage against us. And I think if you execute, you know, he's obviously got big, you know, damage potential, and he's got a lot of strikeout potential too. And when you execute your pitches, you usually get the job done.
Shut up.
I love the reporter at the beginning.
Just because of the Canadian accent.
So Canadian.
Cal Raleigh.
So, yeah.
No organization.
What about Cal Raleigh?
I mean, he's not Irish.
Yeah, you sounded Irish.
Play it again.
Scottish.
That's what he sounds like.
Play it again.
I don't know if it sounded quite
play
like
it again.
That.
You sound just like that at the beginning.
Sorry, I backed out of it. I didn't know.
No,
we
that's
were
fine. You know what? Don't play it again.
It's fantastic.
Here it is.
John, what about Cal Raleigh makes him so tough to pitch?
He just says Cal Raleigh.
Yeah. Yeah. Uniquely Canadian.
A little lucky charm. Okay.
So number one, Scott left played him in the game at all. I think that's a clear sign of we got to win a game here to end this thing now, and this start means more to us. The second is, and Brock, it's funny because you texted about this, who's coming in to pitch the bottom of the 10th? Mm-hmm. It was Ryan Stanek.
Mm-hmm.
And even with a, what, 5-run lead at that point? Yeah, we're going to go with Ryan Stanek.
Yep.
We need, even though we pitched the day before, even though there's now a 5-run lead, yep, we've used up Munoz. I'm going to go to my second best guy and, you know, yes, use that bullet, because yes, I can't afford to have somebody else come in here and blow this game. Yes. I can't turn this over to Brett DeGuise. I can't let Tyson Miller come in. Like, I need to win this game, mm-hmm, and go home. And so, mm-hmm, if you're looking for sense of urgency, mm-hmm, to me, that's it. Because Scott's not going to flip the Gatorade table. He's not going to call guys out in the press.
Nope.
He's not going to, you know, publicly behead anybody. He's going to do things like this. And that does show you that they don't believe, hey, you know, games in April don't matter. They are early. It doesn't mean that a bad game in April means you're going to be bad for the rest of the year. Yeah. But I think that's a clear sign that this game in April mattered quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think so many times, right, you talk about a passion of the fans. They also want a pound of flesh when things aren't going good. And when you're not hitting, then it really looks lethargic. Mm-hmm. And it's really can be tough to watch because you're just struggling. But, you know, it doesn't mean they aren't trying as hard as they possibly can to hit and to get that big hit that then just kind of released it. I mean, that's what they needed. It's what it felt like. Like, who's going to make the shot? Mm-hmm. Who's going to take the ball away? Who's going to finally get that hit? And what did they end up yesterday? I think 4 of 6 with runners in scoring position, starting obviously with Cal's shot there, and then Ty followed, and then Mitch followed. And that's kind of how it works, and how baseball and so many of these sports work is just say, man, someone gets it going, someone primes that pump, and let's go, you know, and let's let it rip. And they certainly did. I like that. I like that urgency versus accountability. Right. I think many times, like, hey, man, hold them accountable. Dude, be like Lou. Where's Lou Pinell? They're not around anymore. So you really, I think, define so many of these guys by the urgency they do create and some of the urgency in their decision-making to go find a way to get it done. So, yeah, I thought that two very astute points yesterday and nice to see, and I'm sure a whole lot better flight home.
Oh, I would imagine.
That's a long flight home from Toronto to come back. And, you know, just don't get swept, man. If you just don't get swept in these series,
you're 2.5 games out.
That's right.
Right? I mean, if when that game ended yesterday, for all of the, you know, all the issues in the first 12, 13 games, and there have been a lot of them. No one's saying there haven't been. After that game, they were 2 games out. Texas ended up winning later in the day. But it's like, you know, this, it really is early. And so I know people hate those words. I wrote about it last night. And if you have a minute, you can kind of read some thoughts on it at seattlesports.com. I wrote about what those three words mean. It's early. It is early. 2 words, 3 words, a compound word, whatever you want to say. A conjunction.
Thank you.
It's a conjunction, Brock.
Mrs. Blazy appreciates that.
It may have conjunctivitis,
so
even.
Who knows? Mrs. Chips.
Yep. I bet. And it is early. Early doesn't mean irrelevant. Early doesn't mean doesn't matter. Early just means that baseball's played over a long period of time for a reason, and that small sample sizes don't tell you the whole story. That's all.
Be careful. Be careful about making it predictive for the whole rest of the season to draw those hard, fast conclusions, and that this team is cooked and this team is done because they showed you in just one inning some of the firepower they do have, some of that power that Cal does have. And, you know, that is still, you know, in the top of that lineup, not fully unlocked yet, is Polanco. And Julio struggled yesterday with 7 combined strikeouts. And yet you find a way through Logan and other people picking it up. So, yep, nice to come home 5-8. Nice to have a little goodwill. Nice to have a fun function tonight for Scott and the boys to get together out there in Kirkland, which you're going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Whole lot better vibes when you come off of a win.
I think there's
like
still
that.
Tickets, too, if people want to come. It looks like a ton of fun. It's the going to be in Kirkland tonight. I tweeted it, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. So if you go to the at the Mike Salk Twitter account, you can find that and come join us tonight. It should be fun. All right. Coming up next, Brock will give you guys everything you need to know, including some comments by a somewhat forgotten Seahawk that tell a very different story than maybe the one we were expecting. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
O'Brien.
You're free now.
Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. The only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email. BestDiamondPrice.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
Mariners Text keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see MoPOP's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the first few weeks of Jorge Polanco's Mariner career have certainly not gone as anybody would have expected defensively. It's been some real problems. But yesterday, Brock, he made a catch that saved their bacon.
1-1 tie, bottom of the ninth inning, the stretch. The 0-2 on the way to Clement, swing and a fly ball in a shallow right center field. Going out, Polanco reaches out and he makes the catch. Over his shoulder, holy smokes. What a great catch by Jorge Polanco. And that will retire the side. And we are going to extra innings this afternoon here in Toronto.
Yeah, they really needed it. And once they got to extra innings, they did their thing. You give this team a runner on second to start an inning, and they will score some runs.
Here comes the pitch to Cal. He swings and shoots this deep out to right field. Does he strike again? Springer is watching. It is gone. Who else? Cal Raleigh invades Toronto again.
They're very excited. Aaron Goldsmith there. And they continued the rally. Ty France with a big hit. Mitch Haniger with a big hit. They needed it.
We've been waiting for a big hit for quite a while. We haven't had one probably since the Julio walk-off at the opening homestand. So I tell you what it does. When somebody does something like that, it just relaxes the whole group. And now you start to see, you know, the freedom, you know, the guys just playing baseball. And you saw that in the at-bats after it. So, again, hopefully this can springboard, the rest of our club going forward here when we go back on the homestand.
Is that now 2-0 in extra inning games, by the way?
They are, yeah.
Kind of a bugaboo last year, right? Those one-run games and the extra inning games were such a challenge last year. That is one positive turn. Only been a couple of them, but you got it done in different fashion at home with Julio's comeback and there with Cal. I mean, let's face it, Salk. Cal just executed, you know? And when he executes at the plate, he's a difference maker.
That's it? It's just a matter of execution?
Well, that's what John Schneider says.
Exactly.
You know, if Cal just can execute.
Well, I think he's saying if the pitchers execute, then it doesn't really matter what Cal does.
Well, what if Cal executes?
Well, he doesn't think that matters. He thinks it only matters if the pitcher executes.
Gotcha.
That was sort of, I think, the point he was trying to make. Logan Gilbert, filthy yesterday. 7 2/3 innings. Everything was working for him. Gosh, that's what this team's supposed to look like when he does his thing. So Mariners come home. They're 2.5 games out of the division lead. They only have 149 to play, so hopefully they can do something with these remaining games. Bryce Miller tomorrow against the Cubs, who are 7-5 to start the season.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Seahawks meeting with the media yesterday. At least some of the leaders were. Geno Smith talked about Pete Carroll's departure. Tyler Lockett talked about why he decided to stay in Seattle and sign the kind of deal that he did. But maybe the most explosive comments came from Chenna Nwosu, who seems maybe more excited than most about this new coaching staff.
I would just say just like it just being like a breath of like fresh air, you know. You know, the last 2 years are kind of frustrated. Well, not the last 2 years, but maybe last year was kind of frustrating, you know. And sometimes when you get change, you know, it can bring out the best in everybody. You know, I see a lot more smiles on people's faces. You know, people are, they're more happy, they're more energetic, I feel like. And I don't know if that's just because it's the new year, new season, but, or it could be, you know, coaching changes and new opportunity, you know, but everybody is kind of coming along together and, you know, everybody's talking more, everybody's hanging out more, and I feel like it's bringing the locker room closer.
Doesn't it seem surprising that unhappiness was a hallmark of the team?
Yeah, that's...
It doesn't feel like a Pete Carroll issue.
No. I think of two words that end in Y. You just used one of them in the last segment. Urgency, a new staff, brings new urgency for guys in the NFL. And the other word that ends in Y is opportunity. And I think that's what you feel, right? There's still a lot of young people. There's still a young team. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of young guys, and there are some of them, like D. Eskridge, that would not have an opportunity if the old regime is here. And then, you know, there's others that have done, you know, some quality work but need to take that next step. So urgency, opportunity, lots there. And I'll dig into Blue 88 because Chenna went on to make some other comments that, as you said, were fairly bold.
Yeah, I would say more bold than I was expecting yesterday. But okay, good for Chenna. And he is the type of guy that I think steps up as some form of a leader in this new team. So see where that goes.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
About 10 minutes away from the Masters teeing off. So if Brady was one of those 7:30 tee times, he'd just now be getting to the to the course. Like, guys, I'm coming. Will you pay for me? I'll Venmo you.
Oh, Brady Henderson, is that his way? Is that how he rolls?
Yeah, it's a Brady thing.
He's a little bit like you. He doesn't like to warm up either.
No, he likes to. He just can't get there in time.
Well, he likes four warm-up swings still before every
shot. Does he always show up with coffee and a breakfast?
Right, got his breakfast sandwich. Yeah. He's just like...
Does he still do all the practice swings before the swing?
Brady's kind of... No, he's quieted down on some of the practice swings. Yeah, it's not what it once was.
Who are you rooting for? Who do you want to see win Sunday?
You know who I want to see win.
Jordan?
Other than Jordan. I got to think about that.
We did a fantasy thing this with my group text, and it was had to pick one previous winner, one American player, one international player, and one wild card.
Mm.
Wow, that feels like a lot of picks.
Seriously.
But it wasn't that hard, really. Like, yes. You see,
like 100 people on that list.
No, those are separate categories. You got to pick one of them.
End of it, you've got like 100 people that you're rooting for.
It was for fantasy, to see which one of us wins.
Doesn't sound like my kind of fantasy.
No.
You had to guess how many pars for the entire weekend.
What?
Yeah. Oh gosh,
that's absurd.
Is this Scooter Club?
No,
is this the 14 of you.
I'm playing golf with one of Justin's buddies on Saturday. I don't want any part of that.
I think Duff was on it.
You know what? I'm out.
It was Carl's doing it. Wenatchee. It's his fault.
I'm not playing with him anymore. I'm out.
You're playing Saturday with one of Justin's buddies.
Yeah.
Justin.
No.
What?
I don't think I can go.
Justin can't come.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. He's a great guy.
All right. That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour. I guess the other thing, and this story stinks, man. This story awful. Out of the University of Washington is awful. But I think it is important to talk about it. Tybo Johnson, running
Rogers.
Back.
Tybo Rogers.
Did I say Johnson? I'm sorry. Yeah. Tybo Rogers has been charged with second and third degree rape in two separate incidents. The stories from the court documents are just, they're graphic. They paint a horrendous picture of what happened. Yeah, he's accused of raping a 19 and 22-year-old girl. Each at their apartments after connecting on dating sites. It is a very, very ugly story.
It is really gross. I obviously covered the Huskies on a few different occasions this year, and it became documented, so this isn't any secret, you know, source stuff that's coming out. But even in August, or we had them early in the year, and they said, yeah, he was suspended from the team. This was before those incidents in training camp, and they were done with him. Like, just came in and was not bought in, not doing what he was supposed to be doing, acting out. And they basically said, hey, man, you got one shot at this. It was coaching staff at that point. Like, you got one shot to clean this stuff up, or you're just done.
So what was he still doing after some of these incidents? Because he played in the playoff games.
Yeah, it's awful.
Why was he still there?
Yeah, that is a question for and I mentioned the term upper campus earlier, Salk, and you were like, what the heck is upper campus? The administration on campus were protocols are put in place to handle these situations. Mm-hmm. So coaches do not make the decision. So Art Briles at Baylor and all of that mess and awful, that stuff does not, you know, get put in the coach's hands. It's supposed to be taken out of their hands. And it's supposed to be handled by the administration on campus to make those decisions. The athletic director, then he sends it up the ladder to folks in compliance and upper campus that, you know, it sure feels like a lot of people dropped the ball on this one.
God,
in an
it sure
awful
does.
Way.
Yeah. Well, I don't. This story's really tough. It's tough to read. Our guy Christian Cable did a great job with it at On Montlake, and you can read it on montlake.com. But it is it's a tough read, not going to lie. Yep. All right. Yep. Coming up here, Brock, before we do a little Blue 88 with the draft, 2 weeks from today? I've got 10 rapid-fire quarterback questions. There are 6 or 7 quarterbacks potentially in this draft. I got 10 questions about them for you. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices, saving you big on your next special diamond. By appointment in our Tacoma showroom or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
The Museum of Pop Culture, Seattle's destination museum for music, film, fashion, and gaming, has savings just for Washington residents in May. See MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Justin had a great, great question that he raised that I want to dig into here in a half hour, Brock. Before we do any of that, we are 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks out from the draft, and 2 weeks out from my race against Mora. We'll tell people a bit more about that later, because Mora and I are, it's
I'd
going
great. I appreciate it every time you reference that. Yeah. I'd appreciate it if you would sub in her name. It's not Mora, it's Tyrannobird.
The Tyrannobird.
Mike versus the Tyrannobird.
Yes. Yeah, it's an epic battle of good versus evil. And yeah. We're going to be racing a 200 meter dash. So we'll give you guys some more details on that coming up. But Brock, 2 weeks out from the draft, and we've spent so much time on the number 16 pick and Fitz for the Seahawks, and you'll have another draft profile for us today at 9 o'clock. But at the top of this draft are six potential quarterbacks that could go in the first round. We're talking 1983 quarterback class again, right?
1983, 1999.
Did 99 have six also?
Because
I know 83 had six. I don't think it's ever happened other than 83.
Tim Couch, one. McNabb, two. Akili, top five. Cade McNown, Dante Culpepper. So five in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that was it. Okay. And if I remember, obviously 83 is Elway, Marino, Kelly, Eason, Blackledge, and Ken O'Brien.
Whoa.
So
good pull.
Hey, I got it. Don't worry about it. Wow. If there's one thing I know, it's a 1983 quarterback class.
Yes.
So with that in mind, Brock, I have 10 rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
About these six quarterbacks. We'll even throw Spencer Rattler. If you want to go off the board with one of your answers, that's fine. You ready? If you were a team, if you were a GM, which quarterback would you want? Just straight up, which quarterback would you want?
Caleb Williams, a generational talent. I'd want to mold that clay. There's some stuff there that you've got to work with. But, I mean, he is, just seeing him live in person 3, 4, 5 times, Salk, he's got running back legs, unbelievable athlete. He's got a tremendous throwing stroke as well. I would take the clay that is Caleb Williams, and I would want to mold that to my liking.
Of course. You get sucked in by the tools. Right? That's you. Just like every other GM. You guys can't help it. You love the tools.
He's been pretty well. Tools.
You guys love the tools.
He won the Heisman.
I get it.
Elevated people in Oklahoma and SC. And,
Didn't Rodney Peete win a Heisman? I mean, like, whatever.
Jeez.
All right. If you were a player, Brock, if you were one of these six or seven quarterbacks, which team or which coach would you want to draft you?
Oh, Sean McVay.
Nah, he's not. Okay, I guess he's in theory looking for a quarterback.
Well, Mel Kiper has picks going to the Rams at 37 to Sean McVay.
Okay. Why McVay?
He just, his sole job offensively, and I've talked to him about this, been covering some of his games, is to make your job easier. My job is hard, and I want to make it hard on myself to make your job easier, to set you up for success. Gimmies, completions, rhythm, communication, confidence, all of it. Yeah,
I was looking through that list of coaches that might be interested in a quarterback. I actually didn't consider him in my list.
Okay.
The other name that kind of jumped out to me was Kevin O'Connell or Mike McDaniel. Seems like that McDaniel system would be pretty fun to play in.
Oh, super.
Doesn't that seem like it'd be pretty fun to play in?
Super fun.
Pretty good wide receivers out there.
Same system, and obviously, you know, Shanahan's at the top of the list, probably the guru of gurus, doing what he's doing with Brock Purdy too, but they're not
looking for that.
Drafting the QB.
All right, who of these six or seven quarterbacks, who is the safest bet to have a great career?
That's what's amazing about this class. So I'm looking at the six names, correct? I mean, we know it's an 80% bust rate, so you know that. Four out of the five, just statistically, are going to bust. It's crazy. Who is the safest? I'm going to say JJ is the safest.
Really?
And I'm going to say it's because it's from the inside out. Now, I don't think he's going to, you know, that doesn't mean like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a Super Bowl winner and he's going to do, but he's going to play 10, 12, 15 years like Kirk Cousins. He's going to be in this league for a while because I think he's built from the right stuff inside out.
Who has the best arm of this class? Straight up arm talent.
Yeah. Well, our buddy Phil Sims. Phil's got a new number. I got to chase him down, Salk. That's my responsibility. Because wasn't he the first one to call you Salky?
He was.
Oh, yeah. He put a little Y on your name.
I know. Oh, Salky. God, did it ever make me feel good, too. If you could somehow go back and tell third, fourth, fifth grade Mike Salk that Phil Sims was calling him Salky, that might have just been too much for me.
Yeah. It was old Phil Sims on a podcast with Ross Tucker that talked about Penix maybe being the greatest thrower of a football he has ever seen. Justin, 2 years ago, I was on the call in Eugene, Oregon, in a game that the Ducks had really control of, that, you know, I think we all thought the Ducks were going to win, and they were just pounding the football and pounding the football, and all of a sudden, Michael Penix unleashed this 67-yard dart that had yours truly a little speechless up in that booth.
Penix, clean pocket to throw down the sideline. He drops it in for Davis down the sideline, and there's nobody home. 62 yards for a possible tie.
Jason, there are very few in all the land that can make that throw.
I said it then, I'll stand by that now, and you could hear it in Benetti's voice, man. The great play-by-play guys know when to step on it and ramp it up, and he's watching it unfold, and you could hear him go, and he drops it! Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did he throw that from one hash? Remember that college field, right? The college field, the hashes are wider, and he threw it from the far hash all the way across the field with the safety sitting right over the top of that.
Okay.
And he throws it better than anybody in this class and in a lot of classes ahead of him.
Who's the most accurate?
The most accurate of these, Jaden Daniels. And now Bo Nix's numbers, I say that and you're like, well, Bo Nix just broke.
Well, I didn't say who has the best completion percentage. I said who's the most accurate.
I know, but typically completion percentage and accuracy, they're kind of symbiotic. Yeah, they're linked. And Bo just broke, you know, the record that old homeboy from Alabama that was in New England recently and kind of struggled, broke his mark. I mean, it was like 78%. I mean, it's just ludicrous. But I'm going to give Drake May out of this crew because I think consistently.
Wait,
wise,
Drake May or Jaden? Before
I'm sorry.
Jaden
I'm sorry. Jaden Daniels. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say Jaden Daniels. Yeah, Drake probably lowest on that list. No, I think Jaden Daniels is a pretty naturally accurate passer all over the field.
Who has the best legs in this class?
Yeah, Caleb. Ridiculous.
Is it that much better than Jaden Daniels?
They're different. I mean, Jaden is more Lamar-esque in that you've watched a lot of his games and gone, how does he do that? How does he play fat? How does he play that fat? How does he not get killed? He's a string bean. How is he not broken in half? Lamar's put on a little bit of size and strength as he's grown into, you know, being a man at the professional level. But in college, I'd say the same thing. Like, eventually he's going to get hurt. Eventually someone's going to snap him in half. Never happened. Never happened to Lamar, didn't happen to Jaden, but Caleb's legs are ridiculous. And it's not just his speed, Salk, it's his escapability. It's people hanging on him and escaping out of it. It is short area quickness. It has long, you know, long speed. It's all of it. The dude could be, I think Caleb Williams could be, not, I don't think, I know. Caleb Williams could be an NFL running back. And there's no doubt in my mind that he could do that and have that kind of 4-4 explosion and home run hitting ability and cutting and all of it. He just so happens to also have a tremendous arm.
Best leader.
Now, a bunch of them do this well. So I'm pausing on this one, unlike the one with the floor question or the bust question, because Penix is an amazing leader. Nix is an amazing leader. JJ, yeah, I'm gonna probably point to JJ on that. You play for Jim Harbaugh. You play under the pressure at Michigan. You elevate that program. You play in those games. You play on those stages. The biggest eyeballs, the most exposure, some of the biggest pressures in all of college football. Handles it with tremendous grace. Dudes love him. Plays through pain. Plays through injury. Plays through handing the ball off 32 times. No complaints. Probably a little lean to JJ on that one.
All right. How about the highest bust potential?
This is very rapid fire.
I don't know. This is very like, I'm going to sit around and think about it for 20 minutes. Just say Drake May. What is the matter with you?
Why don't you watch your mouth?
Because all you need to do is say Drake May and move on.
Yeah, Salk. Unlike others that don't have any information about any of these folks and are not really tremendously informed, I am. I know all of these guys, okay?
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I say it's Drake May. I've never seen him play, but I'm not
saying you're.
May.
I'm not saying, okay, I'm not saying that you're not.
No, I'm not.
I'm saying I'm just trying to be thoughtful because I'm actually going through a Rolodex of information that I've been privy to.
Well, see if you can get that brain to work a little faster.
I think Jaden Daniels, honestly. It's
really?
Either Jaden or Drake, yeah. I think Jaden has a huge, huge potential and huge ceiling to be Lamar-esque, Lamar Light. But, you know, there is also this, man, you know, didn't really win at ASU, you know, won at LSU, but definitely padded a lot of stats. He's the Heisman Trophy winner, so to have a huge bust rate would also mean you're coming from the Heisman Trophy to busting. Drake May, what was he, second team All-ACC this year? Like, okay, he's kind of Blaine Gabbert. Like, if he busts, he busts. I don't have that big of a – I don't think his ceiling is nearly as high as Jaden. So I'm going to say Jaden Daniels.
I had highest ceiling on my questions here, but I'm assuming it's that it's still Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams. So I'm not even going to ask
you. You know what? Rapid fire, it's Caleb.
Okay, good job. And then – all right, here's a last question.
All right.
Longest career as a backup. Which of these players will end up having a long Chase Daniels-like backup career?
That could be Bo Nix, actually. Yep. That could be Bo Nix. Right system, right fit. Tough dude. Smart, physical,
good
gifted.
Guy.
Good dude. Just selfless.
Want him in the room.
Yes. Yeah, just kind of, I could see Bo Nix hanging around.
No Spencer Rattler. He didn't make
Kind of having some coaches that, you know, that like him. Usually those guys that hang around a long time, Salk, you know, it's that old line about people do business with people they enjoy doing business with. Like, usually those guys that hang around forever have been different places, have had a few connective tissues with this coach or that. Oh, I love that guy. I love that. I just got to have that guy around. So, yeah, I would think Bo Nix has got that kind of connectivity. Mm. Dude, we just did how many questions? Do you have 10?
That was it got down to 9 because you
said 9 in 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And no, it was more the long pauses.
That's a big step for me. That's 9 answers in 11 minutes. I feel like that's progress.
Yeah.
So
it was something, that's for sure. It was definitely.
It was sure a lot of hubris for me to say that I'm informed. I
definitely
apologize.
Something.
That definitely sounded very arrogant. So,
interesting news coming out here just moments ago, and I'm seeing this
breaking?
On Twitter. Yeah,
breaking?
Not. This is from his official Twitter account, and it has been shared by an awful lot of people, so I'm going to assume that this is accurate.
I just saw Michelle Steele from ESPN.
Oh, good. So I should feel comfortable on this. According to the family, O.J. Simpson has passed away, succumbing to a battle with cancer. Did you know he had cancer?
Mm-mm.
I did not. Mm-mm. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren during this time of transition, they write. His family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace from the Simpson family. O.J. Simpson, dead at 76.
76, huh?
Complicated legacy. Very, very complicated legacy. Right? I mean, among the most complicated legacies of anybody you could think of.
You want some pregnant pauses? You want me to give you some? How am I going
to? Right? You know how we say we don't always want to react to breaking news because you want some time to sit with it, think about it a little bit, figure out the best way and what you want to say about it? Yeah. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to announce that that happened, and I'm not going to offer anything other than to say that that is a complicated, complicated legacy. And one, I don't know how much I want to talk about right now. No, how's that?
I would tend to agree with that. Yes.
Segueing out of that, Andrew and Elma says, might need to workshop that segment name. Maybe slow pitch, soft toss.
Listen, Elma, you take
it
down.
8 minute offense.
8 minute offense.
You
kill the clock.
Yeah. You've been through Elma Salk?
I have, as a matter of fact. I ate
on your way to Montesano?
No, on my way last year to what's that little coast town? The little like fake coast town they built, Seabrook. On my way to Seabrook last year.
Was it fake?
Well, it's good.
You have to be there and see it.
Yeah, it wasn't a town up until like 10 years ago.
They like manufactured a town.
Yeah.
It's nice. I had a good time there. I'm not taking it. That sounds more negative than I meant it.
It just doesn't have like 100-year-old beach houses or anything.
No, it's like one day someone's like,
it's a resort town.
We should build a town here. Yeah. And then they did. And
it's
so you have this sort of like fake thing that grew up there. And it's nice.
Pleasantville.
Good food.
I bet you went through Montesano on your way out there.
We did. As a matter of fact, we did. But I stopped for breakfast or like a brunch. And Elma, it was great. I thought about Andrew and Elma. That's how
Did
I remember
really?
It. Of course. Guy texts the show like 300 times a day. He's like a part of my life.
That's funny.
I have like Andrew. Heather, the girls, Gertie, and Andrew and Elma. That's are like the people that are most relevant to my life.
Burger at Smitty's.
On a day-to-day basis. All right, Brock, let's do a little Blue 88.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88. We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Saul.
All right, well, you'll have longer to answer these questions if you want, Brock. This is not rapid fire. This is like a full Blue 88. Let's start with Geno Smith because he was asked about this new offense with Ryan Grubb. Here's what he said.
We've been watching a lot of Husky film, and, those boys were lighting it up. But Coach Grubb, man, he, you know, he knows his stuff. He knows his system, knows how he wants it done. You can tell he's very confident in his play calling. In the way that he's going to get us, you know, to do things as an offense. And, you know, right now we're just in the beginning stages of learning this offense. And, you know, every guy is studying their butts off. You know, I was with the receivers just a few minutes ago going over some of the passing concepts. And, you know, we're trying to learn this thing as fast as we can so that when we hit the field, you know, it's a smooth transition and we're just, you know, going at full speed and, you know, just getting these things together.
Couple things that I have heard that do make a lot of sense to me, Salk, when it comes to this system and Grubb, is there's a lot of people around there like invigorated with just his command. I've said this to you a couple times over the last few months, but like, no, I got that. Yep, we're going to put him here. And, oh, yeah, you know, I've used, you know, this position for this guy and gotten this kind of production. Oh, and this guy's got this skill set. I'm going to use him in this way. I mean, he's very, because he knows that system and has such conviction in it, over the last two decades being in it, Mike, he can now say, oh, that's the part I need. That's the part I need. That's the part I need. Great. I got all the parts I need here. You know, I got Jackson in the slot who can do a lot of what Jalen McMillan did, an unbelievable option route runner and field guy. I got DK Metcalf that I can do with what Roma Dunze did, and that's isolate him and put 3-1 and get him one-on-ones and get him isolated in all those situations to take advantage of it. Oh, great. I got a Tyler Lockett that, you know, I can use as my flanker in all the different ways. So and then throw in tight ends and then throw in, you know, slot receivers, bubble receivers. So I think there's – gosh, I sure felt yesterday from Tyler and Geno, and we felt it from the defensive guys too, and we'll get to Chen in a second, but just kind of invigorated, like, man, they got a role for me. A lot of times new staff comes in, you know, first time coordinators especially, like, okay, I've got to figure out roles for guys and how are they going to fit. I got such a conviction. I know exactly what and how I want this to look. Mike Holmgren was that way, right, in the West Coast system. Like, when I got drafted there, like, this is the way it's supposed to look. Done it for 20 years. This is the way it's going to look. So either you're going to get the job done or I'm going to find somebody else that can. But I know exactly what it's supposed to look like. And I think that's what Geno and those guys are feeling on the offensive side.
All right, question number two. We've talked talk quite a bit in Need to Know about this Tybo Rogers incident. And if you haven't read about it, good job by Christian Capel and on Montlake to kind of go through what's in the court reports. And it details two really horrifying stories of second and third degree rape, which is what he was accused of and charged with this week.
Mm-hmm.
What could happen now, and how should this have gone then?
Yeah, the only, you know, it's...
And I'm talking about from the school standpoint, correct. Not
it's
from the legal standpoint.
It's much easier to look into kind of the rearview mirror here for me and go, hold on a second. You knew this guy was troubled. He was troubled in training camp. You nearly booted him off the team. You did. And you actually, you took him away from team activities and gave him X, Y, and Z to work through. Now, that's not totally uncommon for an 18-year-old freshman coming to a place. And, man, you got to grow up and you got to mature and you got to be accountable. That was all football stuff. That's not this criminal stuff. That was just the football stuff of it. So you knew there were some behavioral issues there from even a football perspective. The minute that first incident came about, I hoped, and we'll see, it's going to get dug into now further and further, and this is not going away. I really hope that the Kalen and Troy Dannon ran that right to where it's supposed to get run to in the compliance office and the legal team and the upper campus and the academic side to say, okay, you know, I believe it's Title IX that handles these situations. It's very clear protocol. It is very clear black and white. Now you handle this, and if, you know, this dude's booted off the team, boot him off the team. So the criminal process can begin even further.
I just wonder how much of that is still influenced by the highest paid employee in the state.
I agree.
Right?
I don't know.
I mean, it's one thing to say this is what the process is supposed to be informally. I'm sure that's what it is.
Yep.
But is that actually how it gets followed in most cases where, you know, we know that these college coaches are so powerful and... This is very potentially an ugly situation for Kalen DeBoer.
Yes. You know, and Art Briles was at Baylor a long time and wielded that kind of power, Salt, because he turned him into a powerhouse and all of that. And certainly we've had other stories of guys that have been a lot of places and wielded that kind of undue power at times. Does that feel like Kalen DeBoer in year one?
I don't know.
You know, year 1.1?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know either.
Two, right?
I'm not... Well, it was year two, but he had like 1 year under his belt. So this is the start of the second season. So
I don't know. Yeah. But it's a very, very ugly situation. All right, question number three.
Awful, awful for those young women.
Of course, yes. Question number three. So, Brock, which Seahawk that spoke yesterday blew you away? I'm going to guess it's Chenna Nwosu, and I'll just place
Julian
it in
spoke,
sound.
Tyler spoke. Tyler was great. Tyler was a vet. Tyler also said, I'm done with these trade stories, so stop it. Stop trying to write them and speculate about them. I'm here. I took a pay cut. You know, I built a deal with some incentives to earn him back. I'm a Seahawk through and through. Geno, we just played. He felt some of his maturity. Julian Love referenced that word we did yesterday in Blue 88, S-M-A-R-T. There is some smart stuff going around. But it was Uchenna. It was Uchenna that brought the force, that brought the opinion.
As a team, I expect a good playoff run. We've been close the last 2 years. I feel like it's time to really get over that hump. We've got all the players. I feel like we got the right coaches now. You know, these coaches seem committed. They're really putting in the time and effort so far. And that's what you want to see from a staff. But definitely a deep playoff run this year. Like I said, we got all the pieces. So it's just time to put it together.
Quick story time, all right? Real quick story time. When I was in Indianapolis, Salk, you've heard this story. I don't know if Justin Moore have. When I was in Indy, Peyton made us come in on Tuesday night, him and I. Only two QBs on the roster. Jim Caldwell was a QB coach. Tom Moore was in the office. And Peyton asked Jim, on the whole four white walls of our QB room, to write down the tendencies of the opponent we were playing that week. So Jim had to spend all day Monday night, Tuesday, making sure first down, second and short, second and medium, second and long, third and short, third and medium, red zone, all of the tendencies, right, of all of our opponents. There was not a game, there was not a team like New England. When we played them, those walls were like a beautiful mind. There was not any white anywhere. Then you played the Miami Dolphins, and they played 4-3 quarters, and they played some 2-lock. That was it. Like, it was nothing but white wall. There's two different ways to do this thing defensively and to play the game. Pete Carroll is much more on the ladder. You knew where guys were going to line up. You knew how to play it. He believed in the discipline. He believed in the soundness of the scheme. He believed that the offense was going to make a mistake and they had to earn it over and over. And he played the long game and get the game in the fourth quarter. This is going to be different, man. And that's what you feel from Chenna and you feel from Julian. You feel, now, is it better? We'll see. But it's going to be different. there's going to be a lot more scheme. There's going to be a lot more asked of the guys from the neck up. There's going to be a lot more disguise, a lot more pressure, a lot more mixing of looks, a lot more pattern reading, a lot more detail than we have seen around here in some time. And I think that's why Chenna yesterday was a little more vocal than some of the others.
All right, there you go. That is today's version of Blue 88. A lot of text messages coming in. Let's see. Salk, you're right. Seabrook is fake. You can't understand it until you see it, but it's kind of like Pleasantville with three-story condos.
It's cool. It is cool. It's cool.
I enjoyed it, but that doesn't make it. I mean, both of those things can be true at once.
Yeah.
It felt manufactured, and I enjoyed that.
Bougie?
They do it. Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's
a little
upscale.
Bougie, yeah.
But it's new. Everything's new. And like, I think every single one of the properties there is a different floor plan. There's no repeat of anything.
It's like a little eerie, pool. Though. Like, I went there, and all the properties have a funky name.
Yeah.
And, like, we were driving around. I was with my parents last year in Cecily. We're driving around, like, where is this place? Like, we couldn't find it. And finally, we're just like, all right, pull over. Pull up the damn map. Like, pulled over. Looked to our right. There was this place. It was like, felt like a tractor beam had sucked us into some, like, I don't know, like the Shining Hotel or something.
It's cool.
Salk, did you eat at the Rusty Tractor when you stopped in Elma? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I did eat at the Rusty Tractor. It had really good breakfast there.
Nice.
And Andrew and Elma touched that I thought of him. How could I not think of you? You're like a part of my family at this point, Andrew. You text 300 times a day. I got my kids, my dog. I got you. I got Matt in Oregon. And then everybody else who hates me. That's like basically my family at this point in my life. All right. Coming up next, Justin had some very good ideas to replace something that I think everyone's going to miss. It's next on Brock and Salk.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.